This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio number 1313. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded April 26th, about power line communications and the digital transition, radio war news from Asia, harmonics from Asia and South America, Latin American DX and station news, about relays of France, Greece, and Turkey, and the propagation outlook. Another valuable online resource is now available, the A06 shortwave schedules compiled by Eike Bierwirth in Germany. Unlike the HFCC schedules we mentioned earlier, these are not directly from official registrations, but Eike's own research from all the different stations put together both in time and in frequency order. The current overall shortwave schedules are linked from this site, www.eibi.de.vu. And our thanks again to Eike Bierwirth for this voluntary work, which is available to everyone at no cost. In mid-April, surprising news came that the World Utility News Club was closing down after over 11 years of existence. This is the number one resource for information about non-broadcast stations on the radio spectrum. However, it was soon replaced by a Yahoo group. Hundreds of members migrated there, it seems, rapidly, and it's open to anyone who's interested. It's now called the Utility DX Forum. groups.yahoo.com/group/UDXF. Via Alan Rowan, the British DX Club, news of a major new Marconi exhibition opening. It's at the Museum of History of Science in Oxford, UK, since April 24th. It's called Wireless World, Marconi and the Making of Radio, including a lot of original equipment dating back to Marconi. And it continues until the 1st of October. Thanks also to Mike Terry for this news. It's open daily except Mondays, admission free. Website for more info is www.mhs.ox.ac.uk. And there are a number of special events in connection with this running during May and June. We received this from telecommunications consultant Ben Cobb. He says, in response to comments on a recent World of Radio, that a listener impacted by broadband over power lines would have no standing to complain because the listener may operate a receiver only and have no transmitter or license. The responsibility to correct harmful interference does not disappear if the victim has no license. International broadcasting is an authorized radio service regardless of the location of the transmitter. Unlicensed devices, a category that includes BPL, must avoid harmful interference to authorized services, period. Consider radio astronomers. They monitor celestial objects and energy sources that are obviously not radio stations. Yet radio astronomy is an authorized radio service. Astronomers strive to protect their bands and receiving facilities from interference through vigilance and lobbying when necessary. Any suggestion that radio astronomy is not entitled to interference protection would be immediately rejected by this scientific community. Shortwave listeners should take a similar position if they identify a genuine threat from broadband over power lines, even though as a group they do not wag the political dog in Washington. It would be a spurious and regrettable result if BPL providers and the FCC cooperate with licensed hams but turn deaf ears to complaints of interference to HF broadcasts. Thank you, Ben Cobb. Check out his website, www.kobb.us. And here's a comment from another telecommunications expert in a different field, Bob Cooper in New Zealand, via the Worldwide TVFM DX Association. It's been my experience that the core of the digital mess is much deeper than management at Best Buy and other stores. A very tiny handful of folks in the broadcasting industry have selfishly retained their knowledge, and even at the broadcaster level, there is but token comprehension of what analog to digital transition really means. not just in the USA, all over the world, with the possible exception of Germany, where government has spent huge sums of money to educate the entire population. In the UK, which leads the world in digital penetration, something like 60% now, digital only means more free-to-air programming channels at the consumer level. And their situation is unique because with analog, you have 5 FTA, while with DVB-T, you have 30-plus channels, including such choice channels as Fox News, CNN, Cartoon Net, TCM, and others of a similar basic cable stature. In Australia, digital means no new programming and maybe yes, maybe no, better reception quality. Australia is stuck at 15% penetration, stymied in growth. Spain did a massive changeover to digital, and when nobody came to the party, that is, consumers said, ¿qué pasa?, back into government it went. France is sort of following the UK lead, lots more channels versus analog. The shortfall is a total lack of planning that transcends the individual levels involved, from programmer to broadcaster to transmitter operator to the consumers that will make or break it in the end. Nothing about this is going well any place in this world, says Bob Cooper, speaking, I think, primarily about digital television. On the Harmonix Yahoo group, David Vitek in Adelaide, South Australia, reported April 14th, I'm still keeping an eye above 30 megahertz just in case. And bingo, just happened to tune in before 0400 UT and heard the carrier of the Voice of Korea, North Korea, on 35201.1 variable, just about audible, and then going off a couple of minutes later. That's the third harmonic of 11735. Then at 0630, I heard the BBC via Singapore, second harmonic on 30720. And on 30520 at 0723, the second harmonic of All India Radio's domestic service from 15260. So that was probably one of the best days here for our main March and April F2 season. In DX Listening Digest, Ron Howard in California has some comments about QSLing All India Radio. Several others have reported poor results in getting verifications. Everyone has different experiences, and some say they are frustrated, but that's not been my experience. With a little bit of effort, you can show All India Radio that we actually have interest not only in QSLs, but in their country. My few emailed reception reports have had positive results, either by return email or PMail. Besides expressing some interest and knowledge of the city or region he is reporting to, he also uses the common greeting used in India in the subject line, Namaste, N-A-M-A-S-T-E. Lacking knowledge of a country even while being there, I was embarrassed to hear the Voice of America correspondent in Kathmandu refer to Nepal as a tiny kingdom. The same phrase was used by Margaret Warner on the PBS NewsHour. Radio wars continue to rage around China, and keep in mind this information is very much subject to change and variation from day to day. Tim Bucknell in the UK heard China National Radio on 18200 April 16th at 10:29. That makes us suspect that was actually on 18200 to jam the Sound of Hope, clandestine, which varies around that frequency, and indeed it was reported not too far away on 18160. At 0741, April 24th, by Jose Miguel Romero in Spain. But he was not reporting any interference, so I suspect that might have been the jammer instead of Sound of Hope. Back on April 13th, Ola Alm in Sweden reported to BCDX that Sound of Hope was back on 17330. However, the day before, they ran open carrier only, so the jammer got a day off. On April 22nd, Shigenori Aoki of the Nagoya DX Circle gave us the new schedule of Sound of Hope via Taiwan, showing that between 23 and 16 UT, they may be found anywhere in these frequency ranges from 17310 to 17350, or 18160 to 18200. They've also added a number of additional broadcasts via Taiwan, apparently on non-varying frequencies, which no doubt are heavily jammed, 22 to 23 on 9635, 22 to midnight, Saturday and Sunday only, on 6280, 23 to midnight, 7310, 11 to 13, 7280, 13 to 14, 7310, 14 to 16, 9450, and 16 to 17, 11765. Furthermore, Sound of Hope is now broadcast via KWHR in Hawaii, Monday through Friday at 14 to 17 UT on 9930. On the other hand, Shigenori Aoki tells us that Free North Korea Radio has closed down as of April 14th. It had been via Russia at 15 to 16 UT on 5880. And one more bit of non-clandestine news from the Nagoya DX Circle. Radio Republik Indonesia in Kendari, which has been on 4,000 kilohertz for years, moved to 3995, where it was heard April 15th from before 10 UT until after 1300, escaping interference from Inner Mongolia. In Japan Premium, Iwao Nagatani in Japan reports hearing the Catholic Radio Network Papua New Guinea on 4960, April 14th at 1121 to 1207 in English, with some gospel songs, piano music, and ID at 1210. Come to think of it, I don't recall seeing this reported for about 6 months, so they may have been off the air for a while. Quite a lot of news about FM pirates in the U.S. the past week. Of particular interest is one in the Quad Cities of Iowa and Illinois called Power 103.3. There have been stories about it in QC Online. Via Juan Gualda, ABDX, the FCC has already visited them, but the operators have been operating the station since last week under an FCC code they believe warrants them operation without a license in times of war. They presented the FCC representative with a copy of the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 47, Section 3542, Application for Emergency Authorization. They believe the regulation, which grants an emergency broadcast on a temporary basis under extraordinary circumstances, such as the continuance of war, gives them the right to operate their station without a license. Operators were prepared to take this to court if necessary. Also known as Power Hits 103.3, Chris Cervantes from Peoria, Illinois, reported to WTFDA that he was in the Quad Cities and listened in. It seemed to cover most of the quads and was stronger in Davenport than Moline. They were CHR and pop with quite a bit of 90s music mixed in. I thought the excellent public radio series, The Unfinished Journey, the Lewis and Clark Expedition, had run its course, but I've found that WAMU in Washington, D.C. is currently running it. Started in April, runs through June, more or less. Thursday evenings at 8 Eastern Time, also webcast, UT Fridays at midnight. Highly recommended. World of Radio affiliate RadioVeronica.us has added another of our favorite shows to its schedule, The Church of the Subgenius Hour of Slack. It's webcast UT Sundays and Mondays at 0400. For its in-band 25-meter channel, WWRB started out on 11920, then shifted to 11915, and now on April 25th, I measured them on exactly 11918. So it's no accident with the Republic Broadcasting Network before and after 2200 UT. I guess they're trying to avoid Saudi Arabia on 11915. But does the FCC know about this? WWRB previously used 12172 instead of its assigned frequency, 12170. Brazilians have been lamenting the demise of their favorite DX program, Altas Ondas, on Voz Cristã, transmitted via Chile, but studios in Miami. But now a DX program has resumed, a different one with a different name, called Rádio DX, starting April 29th at 11 UT on 6110, and repeated UT Mondays, I think they mean, at midnight on 11745, according to Celio Mais in Atividade DX. We are in the midst of World of Radio 1313. Our address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. Our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for financial support go to Jerry Kiefer in New Mexico. On the MWDX Yahoo group, Bernd Trout now points out that Guatemala is switching to daylight shifting time on April 30th until October 1st. They'll be on UT minus 5 instead of 6. Seems to me they can't make up their mind from year to year whether to go with DST, but it seems they will this summer. And I wonder if that will mean the few remaining shortwave stations start signing on and off an hour earlier and will shift all programming 1 UT hour earlier. Very sad news from the Aves Island de-expedition off Venezuela. A well-known ham de-expeditioner and a contributor to our efforts, Jose Manuel Valdez Rodriguez, suddenly died of a heart attack while he was putting up an antenna for the de-expedition. Or maybe it was a stroke. Reports are contradictory. His call sign was YV5LIX, and his webpage should still be up if you want to see more about him, www.yv5lix.org.ve. In his honor, the call sign for the de-expedition, which has gone on with some other members until May 1st, was changed to YX0LIX. Thanks to Jose Elias Diaz-Gomez for news about this, as well as the usual HamDX bulletins. Manuel Mendez in Spain says Radio Ijimani Bolivia is active again on 6025, especially when there are football games to broadcast. He contacted the station and found out from the new manager, Arturo Cruz, that they are remodeling with a new webpage, which is in connection with the Bolivian Information Agency. It's www.comunica.gov.bo. Now several items of Brazilian news. In Conexión Digital, Alan Moore in Paraguay reports hearing the second harmonic of Rádio Globo São Paulo on 19170, with an ID at 1835, April 14th. And some news about Brazil from Celiro Mais' column, Panorama in Atividade de Xix. Rádio Educadora de Limeira was heard again on 2380 by Ivan Dias Jr., elsewhere in São Paulo State. Rádio Braz has not yet begun its DRM transmissions on medium wave. Those tests are expected in several Brazilian cities. The other Rádio Globo in Rio de Janeiro reactivated its two shortwave frequencies, 6030 and 11805. The higher one was heard first in Paraná by Josenie Gonçalves on April 14th. 6030 is directed to listeners in west-central Brazil, and I suspect might encounter a tad of co-channel interference. Rádio Globo's 11805 frequencies was heard in Portugal by Carlos Gonçalves April 21st at 1935 with an excellent signal, but it went off suddenly at 2048. Rádio Baluarte in Puerto Iguazú, Argentina, was missing for a while. It seems to be irregular and is believed to be unlicensed, but now reported by Rudolf Grimm in Brazil, April 23rd at 0106 on 6215, mentioning FM 100.7. Also reported by Scott Barber in New Hampshire on 6214.3 variable, April 24th from 0100 to 133, in Portuguese with music and commercials. Yes, I said Portuguese. It's right on the Brazilian border. LRA 36 Antarctica did not reactivate on April 17th, as was hoped last week. They were having another try Monday, April 24th. However, still not confirmed as of April 26th on 15476 between 19 and 21 UT, although many of us have been looking for it, including Dennis in southern Brazil, who has found something on that frequency around 13 UT, 15476 upper sideband, not definitely identified, it's just been music. He heard it both on April 25th and on April 26th at 1350 and at 1555 until blocked by Gabon after 1600. But we're not sure if that's LRA 36. There's a furore in the UK over the high pay of chattering DJs on radio too, according to a Times story of April 23rd via Mike Terry. The head of Radio 4 faces turmoil among his presenters over the disclosure of six-figure salaries paid to DJs on Radio 2. Terry Wogan is paid the most, 800 kilopounds a year for five shows a week. By contrast, presenters of many popular Radio 4 programs are paid between 700 and 1,000 pounds per show. Andy Sennett clarifies this to DX Listening Digest. Whilst not wishing to defend the huge amounts paid to Terry Wogan et al., I have to say the press reporting deliberately misleads the public into believing that the BBC pays obscenely high salaries to its staff. It does not. They're two separate issues, the amount paid to regular staff based on pay scales in the public domain, and freelance contracts, which are individually negotiated with individuals lucky enough to be in a position to do so. The leaked salary info relates to these freelance contracts. They are not BBC staff, but individuals who sell their services to the highest bidder. Many people on the BBC's payroll, often doing stressful jobs, feel the same way as the majority of the press and public when they see what some of these freelancers are paid, especially at a time when the BBC is making big cuts in its workforce. RTBF in Belgium, the French language service, has been sending out letters to monitors on its mailing list, written in Spanish and Italian, even though they don't really broadcast in those languages, wanting them to check out some test transmissions starting May 2nd on 9970. Thanks to Ignacio Sotomayor in Spain and Dennis in Brazil, who says he is a Belgian and is thus very interested. No details so far, but they may have a new transmitter and possibly DRM will be involved. Another test transmission, possibly involving DRM since it's published on the DRML Yahoo group. Tests from Sweden on 5940 from Radio 603, that's Roy Sandgren's station. A power of 5 to 10 kilowatts, log periodic antenna, no definite schedule but a carrier, sometimes music, mostly in the daytime, reports are wanted. The website is www.radio603.info.se. Thanks to Mike Terry for that news. More about Radio Finland's elusive secret English newscast we mentioned before. Mauno Ritola in Finland has looked over the schedules in Finnish and found that there is YLE news in English on the first national program at 12:55 UT, exactly the time it was heard by Joe Hanlon in New Jersey. That was Wednesday, March 29th. Guess what? Although he has been able to check it every day, the next time he heard it was Wednesday, April 26th. So there may be a pattern. Eric Kuya in Denmark has been listening to the satellite relay of that program and found them on one occasion cutting off the English news just as it was starting and going back to Finnish. Hi, Ludwig in Germany has a bit of news about Slovakia from a story in German only. The new chairlady of Slovak Radio says it is a priority to repay the debts to Slovak Telecom. Mass redundancies, especially of engineering personnel, are planned to facilitate this. Following item would have been our top story, but it was not confirmed till I already started recording. On April 26th, John Babis and I noted the absence of the Voice of Greece relays via Delano on 9775 and 17705. We hoped it was just a temporary problem, but I asked VOA engineer in Delano, John Vodnik, and he replies, the Greek programs are gone. Furthermore, both Rhodes and Kavala closed on April 25th. Well, we knew they were going to, but not the date, and suddenly it's all over for the exchanges between the Voice of America and ERA in Greece. And our condolences, John, on the passing of your sister. News from Nexus IBA, IRRS, based in Milan, Italy, from Ron Norton, of additional broadcasts with 100 kilowatts. Fridays only to West Africa in French at 12 to 13 UT on 15750. No word about what program that actually is, but it might be an interesting clandestine unless it's religious. Wolfgang Büschel reminds us these are actually transmitted from Kostinbrod, Bulgaria, and he says they're using an azimuth of 306 degrees, although that might apply to the 5 and 13 megahertz frequencies instead. In the British DX Club, Tony Rogers points out that Radio France International appears to have dropped its relays via Moyabi Gabon. At least they're not showing up on the previously registered frequencies. Can anyone confirm? Adan Moore in Paraguay did hear RFI on 11995 at 1945 UT in French, with a football game believed to be via Gabon, but it might have moved somewhere else. We've confirmed Voice of Turkey on its new frequency in English to North America at 03-5975. Not much interference, but it's rather weak this time of year, and we can only recall that at that very same time and frequency in the winter, Delano was relaying BBC with a very good signal. Now that Greece is gone from Delano relays, George Poppin and I are urging the Voice of Turkey to work out a deal for relays in the U.S. to take up the slack and give it a much-needed, much stronger signal. So we were delighted to hear from Sedef Somaltin at TRT that indeed they are considering relay stations for HF broadcasting, something that the Voice of Turkey has never done so far. News from World Radio Network about one of their shortwave clients, Voice of Joy, New Times and Frequencies. The Voice of Joy Music Hour features some of the brightest and most talented Christian artists in the world, including the Hillsong Band, Darlene Skeck, Marty Goetz, Sacred Harp, Sandy Petty, The Vocal Majority, the Berlevåg Male Choir from Norway, to name a few. Their mailing address is in Dallas, Texas, Box 610-411. Or voiceofjoy@comcast.net. According to Dean Phillips, well, here is the new schedule. Basically, they'll be alternating 2 weeks at a time, a transmission at 13 to 14 UT to Australasia and Africa on Saturdays on 15720. Other Saturdays, they remain at 19 to 20 UT on Saturdays for parts of the Middle East, Europe, and Africa on 6220. So here come the dates for the 15720 broadcast, Saturdays at 13 to 14, April 22nd, May 13th and 20th, June 10th and 17th, July 8th and 15th, August 5th and 12th. All the other Saturdays will be on the 6220 frequency at the different time. I was not able to hear it on April 22nd, but propagation was poor. However, it was well heard as far as Perth, Australia, according to a report they got from Craig Tyson. It's about time for the summer sporadic ETV and FM DX season to fire up in the Northern Hemisphere. Here's a web resource to help you identify TV stations you may pick up on the lower channels. In the WTFDA, Ryan Grabo says he started updating his logo gallery with Channel 2, the others to be updated shortly. Furthermore, he's redesigned the maps. Now a screen version and a printable version. Caribbean stations will also be added. He says he's also added offsets to help in identification and improved legibility. Here's the website for Ryan Grabo's logo gallery, www.egrabow.com/gallery/. Propagation outlook from Boulder issued April 25th. Solar activity predominantly very low to low, with isolated moderate activity possible. The geomagnetic field quiet to unsettled, but active to minor storms expected May 2nd and 19th, active to major storms May 6th, 7th, and 10th to 12th, with A and K indices peaking at 30 and 5 on May 6th, 11th, and 12th. 5 and 2 until May 1st and again from May 14th. Solar flux dropping from 95 April 26th to May 3rd to 75 May 9th to 19th. Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 1313.